Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Ray Hager and I speak with Ira Victa. He's a digital forensic analyst with DiscoveryTechnician.com, a fascinating show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
We've made great progress over the past 4 years.
From building bridges
to building small businesses.
From homegrown entrepreneurs
and community pride
to new innovations.
From economic development
to future mayors.
We're a true beacon of success that continues to thrive. But we need to remember it's all about shaping our future for the next generation and meeting the challenges of tomorrow. I'm Hillary Sheevy, and I would appreciate your support on June 12th.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Take a look at Pro Group Management and see how your workers' comp requirements can be met head-on. By taking a proactive approach, Pro Group can assure that your company is meeting or exceeding state and federal standards. As you move forward in your industry, Pro Group moves with you, simplifying regulatory tasks, clearing the way so you can get the job done, and look to your future success. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Early in the morning or throughout the night, professional truck drivers are on the job, serving you, safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators, from the exotic to the everyday, trucks are everywhere, moving everything. Never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're always delighted to welcome back to the program Ira Victa, even though he scares the heck out of us every time he comes on. He is Chief Forensic Analyst with DiscoveryTechnician.com and the host of the CyberJungle.com. Pleasure to have you back on the program, sir.
Good to be here.
All right, let's start out with the worst nightmare, I think, for the average person, which is Alexa, record my conversation without me knowing and mail it to somebody.
Yeah, really scary. So there is, when you have a smart speaker.
By the way, you know that I just activated Alexa devices all across.
I didn't know that. No, I didn't know that. Look, the Alexa, Google has them, Apple has them, these smart speakers, as they're called. They are designed to be on virtually all the time. And they are listening for cues, and then they start capturing data. And so it's like having, you know, like having the North Korean eavesdroppers in your home all the time. And you don't know when someone is really, you know, whether someone else is really listening or not. You have no good way to know where your data ends up. Now, in this case, Amazon, the owner of the Alexa system, says, oh, this was a mistake. It was picking up people's cues. But why, the question is, how is it that someone innocently found this out rather than good security development and testing at Amazon? That's really the bigger question. How did this happen? What's the process that Amazon is using to have security on these devices?
Okay, so isn't the bigger problem that people foolishly think that they are safe from these kind of things when it's not just Alexa, but it's all kinds of devices. Samsung TVs, the smart TVs, can listen into what's going on in your home. People can turn on the camera that you have on your PC in your office and start recording things.
That's right, remotely.
Right. But we are comfortable in thinking that, you know, we're safe, and we're not.
So we're not. You're right, we're not. I think there really is a sea change. People just accepted when the tech company said that something was safe, that it was fine to use, and the name was a name that they recognized, like Samsung, big company. They assumed, well, it's a big company, so it must be safe. That's not the case. Those of us that have been working in the field of security and privacy have known that, but I think the general public is finally starting, most people are starting to realize that just because it's some company that says it's safe, it doesn't mean that it's safe. A good example is Tesla. Tesla said it's perfectly fine to have a self-driving car or semi-autonomous vehicle, as they call it, and everything's going to be fine. Well, ask the people that have their vehicles run into barriers in the highway how much they can trust the semi-autonomous technology that Tesla has.
Why is it so complicated for Tesla, for any other group, to build a driverless car? What are the big roadblocks, I guess, to getting that done?
There are a lot. First,
thank God we had a half-hour show.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot. I mean, there are big technical barriers, pardon the pun, big technical questions that does the system read the road properly? There are questions about decisions. You have to program the software to say, should the car run over a person or kill the driver? Now, most people would say, well, I think that the person, a pedestrian, an innocent pedestrian, should be saved. But you ask them, okay, you're going to buy a self-driving car. You have an option to buy one that saves a pedestrian or saves you. Most people are going to say, well, save me. I'm buying the car. I want to be saved. Well, if everybody buys a car that saves the driver and kills the pedestrian, that's a bad situation. So these are not just technical issues. These are big human decisions that need to be made if we're going to turn over, you know, the ability for 5,000 pounds of metal, plastic, and steel that hurl down the highway to be controlled by a computer. Very complex questions.
And they're ethical and moral questions as well.
That's right. And there's also issues about the human being. I think this is the big one. A lot of people commonly say that the technology is fine, the humans are the problem. I believe that that's the opposite. The technology is the problem, and the solution is humans. So the people that have been involved in a lot of these crashes when Tesla was in autopilot mode did not have their hands on the steering wheel. One of the crashes, the person who was in the accident said they were texting while the Tesla vehicle was driving. And we need to have a new cultural shift that says, don't trust the machine. Learn cognitive skills to use your mind better so that you can override the machine. And that's the best safety and security we can have.
So you want humans behind the wheel and not technology, just like we have now.
Well, yeah, technology should be an aid. So you know that there's in a motor vehicle, if you swerve into another lane, the machine can beep. The car beeps and says, hey, you're swerving into another lane and there's a car there. But the human being makes a decision. Yeah, I know I'm swerving. There's a kid that's running out with a ball that just jumped out in the road. And I'm going to make the decision to mow down a bunch of hedgerows rather than hit a kid. And the machine is going, oh, my God, you're driving off the road. Yes, I know. Fine. I'm doing that on purpose. We need people to make those decisions. It works the same with computers. You get an email. A company says, we've got a brand new email security system. It's the best at detecting spam. And you go, great. Then a few days later, you get an email that says, hey, the boss wants to wire $10 million for this vendor for this important business negotiation. And a lot of people are trained to think, well, trust the machine. The machine said we have an anti-spam system. The email says it's good. I'm going to wire the money. No, we need to encourage people to use their brain to make cognitive decisions and say, I don't care if the machine says this is fine. Something's wrong that I'm being asked to wire this money to someone we've never wired any money before to.
All right, so this brings up a couple of other issues. One is that artificial intelligence is being called out by several leaders in the tech world saying, be careful what you wish for, because this is not necessarily a good thing. In fact, it may be a bad thing. On the other hand, you have people like Rob Roy of Switch saying when 5G comes, which is the next level of phone technology, that your phone, which right now you use less than 10% of its capability because it's not intuitive, 5G will be very intuitive, and you will be able to do so much more, so much faster. That sounds like it could be a recipe for disaster.
So I think I'm confident that artificial intelligence is being overhyped. It's just software. It's computers that are input with historical data making a decision. That's all it is. It's not a panacea. I think the people that say it's going to ruin the world, not ruin the world because it's good, ruin the world because it's going to make mistakes. And to the extent that it ruins the world, the things that go bad, that we're giving too much reliance to artificial intelligence, not that it's going to be really good, you know, that it's going to do a phenomenal job. We're going to have just as many problems with artificial intelligence software that we have today with standards, what's called what we know as software that's on a smartphone today, or in a car today, or on your computer. It is not going to solve all our problems, and nor do I think it's going to take over the world, because it still has a lot of challenges to make it work the way the advocates think it will work.
All right, let's take a break. More with Ira Victor when we come back.
Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot with over 450 of the latest slots and video games. Sully's Sports Bar, the Dining Car Restaurant, William Hill Sportsbook, and the Tamarack Steakhouse and Lounge. We're just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
Yeah.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things. Like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Hi, I'm Eric Robnett, owner of Home Energy Experts. Has this ever happened to you?
Honey, did you remember to turn down the thermostat?
Forgetting to set the temperature? Not fun. We can help. Our new smart thermostat keeps the temperature set for your comfort all by itself.
I'm feeling hot now.
To increase your comfort, go to homeenergyexperts.com for details. That's homeenergyexperts.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
The Tamarack Junction Steakhouse is known for signature steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and world-class wines. Join us Thursdays and Friday nights from 4:30 to 6:30 in the Steakhouse Lounge for live music, gourmet plates, and well-priced wines, just north of the Summit Mall on South Virginia.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Ira Victor. He is Chief Forensic Analyst with DiscoveryTechnician.com and also the host of the CyberJungle.com.
Ira, a lot has been made of potential hacking of the past 2016 election by perhaps Russian someone else. How do you feel, what has the U.S. government done to protect itself, protect the credibility and the sanctity of the election system going into the 2018 election this year?
Well, so if I could rephrase your question, it's not just the U.S. government, it's the state governments, because the states are running the election systems.
Okay.
just a terrible job. They have, first, in a number of ways. One is the election officials, this is at the state level, because that's where it really matters, where the rubber meets the road. At the state level, the states are drinking the propaganda and the sales pitches from the vendors that sell election equipment that say, oh, it's totally safe, it's completely secure, there is no such thing. Secondly, most of these systems have very poor audit capabilities. They do not have really strong and robust audit trails. So when claims are made that an election is secure, that's just a guess in a lot of cases, because without the strong audit trails and the ability to do the forensics on it, you don't really know. So do I think that the Russians have, you know, infiltrated all of these systems and are driving our elections? No. Do I know that many nation states around the world are interfering with government computer systems at the state, federal, and local level? Absolutely, there is no doubt. There's tons of forensic evidence that they do. And to the extent that we trust these vendors, they're basically they're like used car salesmen who have a long history of making insecure, unsecure equipment and selling that to state and local governments for elections. We are vulnerable to tampering. There is no doubt about that.
What about what Nevada then specifically is our state? How well is our system guarded?
I'd give it a D.
A D.
We just went through after having the first round of electronic voting systems that were not secure, that did not have security built into them from the start. A whole new round of electronic voting machines were purchased in the state of Nevada. And I can speak specifically about northern Nevada, where I live, although I do a lot of work in southern Nevada. But I know in northern Nevada, in Washoe County, for example, there was no attempt by the county commissioners or the people making the decision of the electronic voting machines to reach out to the information security community that we have here in Nevada to say, hey, let's look at the security of these systems. What's going right? What's going wrong? What kind of risk assessments should we be doing? None of that was done that I know of. I've asked around a lot of places, a lot of people. The people that are really in the know, we're not tapped here. And we have people either living in Nevada or coming to Nevada. They're some of the sharpest information security people in the world. Yet that resource was not tapped.
Is this because of conferences like Black Hat and others in Las Vegas?
Correct. So at DEF CON last year, the largest hacker conference, about 20,000 attendees, there was an election machine hacking village, they call it, as an area where election machines were brought in. They're bought off eBay. And the machines were broken into. I was there at the village, breaking into systems with everybody else. There's this huge resource we have in Nevada, not tapped into by state and local government for now machines that we are committed to for many, many election cycles. The state legislature, when they put together the legislation to enable the new machines, they weren't tapping into the vast resources we have from in information security expertise right here in Nevada. So it's a continued cycle of not looking at this as a risk assessment and not using the human brain power and ingenuity we have on tap right here in Nevada by those people that are making the decisions.
Okay, more with Ira Victor when we come back.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. At Design Outdoor, we specialize in all hardscapes, pavers, and walls you'll need for everything, from wonderful small yards to full-blown outdoor living. And we only refer the best contractors to make your vision a reality. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
I'm men's rights attorney Marilyn York, and because I represent men in all family law matters, women often call me gender traitor, woman hater, and even disgusting. So why represent men and target myself with these offensive monikers? It's simple. Children with fathers in their lives are 6 times less likely to drop out of school, 15 times less likely to go to prison, and 5 times less likely to commit suicide. So ladies, you can hate me, but please love your children more than you hate their fathers.
Hi, I'm Dave Newman. Remember me? I used to be the house detective, and now I'm a realtor, full-time at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates. And a lot of people ask me, how's the market? You know what? It's fantastic. If you're even kicking around the idea of buying or selling, give me a call. Let's talk about it. Call me at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates and just ask for the guy who used to be the house detective, Dave Newman.
Everyone is talking about opioids, but they're not the only drugs that can be harmful if taken in large quantities or not as prescribed. You also need to be aware of side effects from anxiety drugs, muscle relaxants, sleep aids, and stimulants. Mixing prescription drugs with other drugs or alcohol can be dangerous. If you take an Ambien with a glass of wine, it may be enough to stop you from breathing. Prescribed drugs can be just as dangerous as illegal drugs. Take medications only as directed.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Ira Victor. He is Chief Forensic Analyst with DiscoveryTechnician.com and the host of TheCyberJungle.com. I wanted to ask you a question about one more about elections, which is, I've noticed on Facebook with people doing early voting that they are going into the voting booth and they are taking a cell phone picture of who they voted for. And my thought on this is, well, holy moly, if I wanted to buy an election and I said to somebody, I'll give you $20 if you vote for my guy, they go in, they take a picture of who they voted for and bring it to me, they get the $20 or whatever it might be. Isn't that a dangerous situation?
It is a very dangerous situation. It's very important that we have a private ballot. It's called the Australian ballot. That we have a private ballot, and then when you go into that voting booth or that voting machine area, that your vote is between you and your ballot and nobody else. And
do you think that there should be some law about people being able to take their cell phones into the booth?
So I'm not an attorney, so just as a layperson, it strikes me that there may already be a law. I mean, I know that you can't be a campaign worker, can't go up with me to the machine and say, hey, Ira, who are you voting for? I know that that's illegal. So we may already have the law that just needs to be applied to, you know, what if someone's looking at my Facebook account that's for a particular campaign? So that's something for the lawyers to hash out. But I think, we need to maintain the privacy of the vote. Absolutely.
Ira, in Missouri, Governor Greitens, a Republican, has resigned. He's in a scandal. Part of it has to do with an affair he had with a woman that was not his wife. But also, there's an issue of cyber access where he improperly used a computer to gain access to a veterans charity donor list, which he wanted to in turn use for his own purposes. We were talking off camera, this is a very big deal, you think. Maybe if you could expand on that.
Yeah, this is a really big deal. It's important that when people give money under a certain, for a charity or for a certain reason, that there's integrity in that data. And the fact that the governor of a state would think that it's fine for him to access that data and use it for a different purpose is unethical and illegal. It seems to me, again, I'm not a lawyer, but it seems to me pretty open and shut computer fraud and abuse, unauthorized access of a system. He was authorizing it to do something with it that was not permitted because of the nature of that data. But it's most concerning because, you know, the leadership comes from the top. And the leaders, the governors, and the constitutional officers in a state, they need to work by example and set an example for everyone in the state to really care about privacy and care about security. And if these allegations are true about this now resigned governor, he really needs to take some ethics classes and learn about the ethics of using other people's data.
Well, he might have a lot of time to do that in the future.
And I wonder if you could do that in prison.
If you were, like, the governor of Nevada, what would you direct the Secretary of State to do to perhaps ensure the integrity of the election system so that our computer, our election machines are not hacked?
Yeah, so I think we need the great question. There should be from the top on down, great Secretary of State would be a great example, that when there are new ideas to use new technologies, that part of that process is a risk assessment. Look, we make assessments, environmental assessments, before we build a highway, right? We make budgetary assessments when we're going to have legislation in Carson City. They go, what is the financial risk impact of this legislation? Why aren't we having cybersecurity and privacy risk assessments to say what is the impact of this as part of the consideration? And that's done by specialists that understand risk. It's not an IT issue. IT is about delivering information services on time and on budget. It's a risk assessment issue. What is the likelihood of someone's privacy or security being a problem? And what is the impact should that happen? The likelihood and impact is about risk and information governance. These are specialties and the state should be doing these risk assessments for changes not only in legislation, but also administratively from constitutional offices, and then especially the elections.
But, you know, this is like, you know, most businesses, when they open up, the last thing that they think about is marketing. That they don't put marketing dollars into the budget, and then they're shocked when things aren't going well, and then suddenly they're scrambling to find money they don't have. And I think it's a similar situation where people are just not aware that this is something that they should be doing. And it's not just a small business person. It's governments. You know, it's the United States government. And we look at all the potential for problems, and it's amazing. I want to hit, well, we got about 30 seconds here. People don't realize that the entertainment center in their car is almost an open invitation for people to come in and hack their vehicle.
That's correct. There are in the typical modern car today, you have about 70 different computers. So a modern car today is like a computer cart with very powerful wheels on it. And those systems are vulnerable to a lot of cybersecurity issues, and we're starting to see those now, and we're going to continue to see them. And it's not just new cars. So BMW has got a recall on the computer systems in their car because you could potentially control those systems from outside of the vehicle, not even be in them as a cyber attacker. And that's going back to model year 2012 on some of them.
Holy moly.
So we're talking about a big swath of BMW vehicles, and it's not just BMW. It's a whole host of automobiles that have these computer systems in them that are vulnerable.
Go to thecyberjungle.com, find Ira Victor. He's a great man. We love you having you on.
Good to
Thank
be
you,
here.
Thank you, sir. We'll be
you,
right
Ira.
Back.
A bird's eye captures its surroundings at different heights. At Brian Culpa Photography, we can make your imagination soar over buildings, parks, cityscapes, and beyond. Brian's images tell the story and get the job done. If you need a new perspective to tell your story, contact Brian today. Brian Culpa Photography. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion, for romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. You can also download podcasts of the show free of charge from iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. We'll see you on the next broadcast.